Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network Radio Program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran, and we've got an outstanding show coming up for you today. But first, I want to thank some of the sponsors that helped make the show possible.
Yes, we'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, the Charlie Wilson Insurance Agency, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly have got their JAG officer here with us tonight, Daphne's Hottest Place for Chow, the waterfront restaurant at No. 1 Yacht Club Drive, the Medicare lady, Miss Keisha Chambers, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And, of course, we want to thank all our sponsors and you, our great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please, when you visit these folks, let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And, of course, SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So always jump into the discussion on Facebook and let us know what your thoughts are. Coming up later on SBN, we will be joined by one of our legal eagles from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ms. Brooke Thomas. She will get us up to speed on the legal issues facing our veterans today. And we'll also speak with Mr. Kyle Bashirs with the Memorial Day Flag Relay. Good event coming up on Monday. And, of course, Tom's tirade on Memorial Day. Hard to believe that Memorial Day is already upon us, but we are privileged to be joined on SBN by Ms. Fran Barber from the South Alabama Veterans Council to give us all the info we need for the holiday weekend. Fran, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for your service to our veterans.
Thank you. Thank you. We've got a lot going on. We're approaching the end of Military Appreciation Month, and we have service members and veterans and their families. Last Saturday, we had an awesome Armed Forces Day event at the USS Alabama. I think Commander Mark Fields was very proud to say that the ceremony was probably one of the best that we've ever had. And Brigadier General's message really came home when he pointed out that in our population in the United States, in our country, less than 1% serve to protect our country.
Right.
When you think about what our population is, that's amazing. It's more like 0.6%.
Right. It is.
But a lot of people don't realize this. Don't understand the differences between Armed Forces Day and Memorial Day and Veterans Day. Well, on Armed Forces Day, we honor the currently serving military, and on Veterans Day, we honor all of them who have served. And on Memorial Day, which is Monday coming up, this is not a day of celebration. It's a day of honoring those that gave their lives in service to our country.
Right, right.
And a lot of times we forget also that May is the Gold Star Awareness Month. which we honor and remember the service members who made the ultimate sacrifice and the families who carry their legacy forward every day. So it's quite a busy month.
It is. It's been extremely busy, but it's been an outstanding month as well with all the events that is ongoing. And then we had a special event yesterday over at the USA for the TBI Foundation, that our hospital or clinic is being built over now at the University of South Alabama. So that's a great addition to our local area for our veterans. And
it's another star for South Alabama.
Yes, it is. It's really neat. And to have, they're going to have five of those in the state of Alabama, Fred, and we have the first one. And so they're trying to get this one off the ground so they can build the others and utilize the experience that they gain here to institute and start the other four units.
Yeah, we're excited to support Jerry Peters and his efforts out at South Alabama. Going to be a great, great tool for our local veterans.
We're going to start
Memorial Day
at
7 a.m. out at the battleship. We're going to have a flag lowering ceremony at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. And our guest speaker, we're keeping Mayor Bass, Daphne Mayor Bass, busy Monday. He's speaking at the battleship at 7. And at 8:30, we're going out to the National Cemetery on Virginia Street. And there'll be a welcome by Commissioner Connie Hudson, County Commissioner. And their speaker is Congressional candidate Joshua McKee. So that's what Mobile County's doing. Then we're going to move over to the the Alabama State Veterans Memorial Cemetery at 11 o'clock. They're having their program. And their speaker is also the Spanish Fork Mayor Brad Bass. And they're going to have a flag folding ceremony, if you've never seen this, by the Boy Scouts Troop 5087. It's very humbling. These young men do an excellent job at honoring our service members.
It's just really, it's really neat to see that going on. And we have additional event that we have at the city of Satsuma. It has their Memorial Day ceremony at Satsuma City Hall at 9 a.m. We've been asked to be there and be part of that with Mayor Mark Barlow there. And that will be an awesome deal. Presentation of colors there will be by the Satsuma High School Junior ROTC Color Guard. And that being said, I'm just extremely excited and proud to see us getting all of our junior ROTC and ROTC members, as well as the Boy Scouts and all, and Eagle Scouts and all the different youth involved at all of our big veterans events. I just think it's just an awesome. I mean, you know, it's surprising. They're doing a real good job.
Excellent job. And they are our future.
Yes, they are.
And Lieutenant Colonel Thomas, she's doing a great job. You know, she stepped in when Colonel Barrow retired, and she's just taking it and she's running with it.
Well, by having Colonel Barrow as our president of the South Alabama Veterans Council, we seem to get more information about what's going on with the ROTC and the junior ROTC as well.
That's true. That's true. We don't want to forget about Saturday. They're having the flag placement ceremony out at the Alabama State Veterans Memorial Cemetery. That's at 10 o'clock. And the Boy Scouts will lead, but everybody is invited to assist. There are a lot of veterans' headstones out there, and it takes a community effort to place those flags. And it's amazing how soon and how efficient they get this done.
Right.
It's just amazing.
It's just amazing that they have it. So we about covered the Memorial Day events, haven't we?
I think we have.
All right. Well, we're about to run out of time anyway, so you did good there, reeling it off. Don't ever say you can't do a speech now.
Listen, I've had an exciting day, and I'll talk more about it, but it refers to our Purple Heart ceremony.
Awesome, yes.
This is going to be an amazing event, and we want to welcome everybody to attend.
Yes, we're looking
There'll be more on that coming.
More coming down the road on that. Thank you so much, Fran.
Thank you, Tom.
All right. What an awesome job this lady does, and with all of our veterans and the different associations that she's in charge of here. And as always, you can visit scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. And on the other side of the break, Ms. Brooke Thomas, our JAG officer with the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, when we return on the Scuttlebutt.
Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today. But only three when the Green Beret.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
No, sir, yes, sir.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, Voice of the Veterans for the Veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM. And hey, if you like to listen on demand, our regularly aired programs are up on the FM Talk 106.5 app, so you can listen when you'd like to. And Tom's tirade is up on castbox.fm. And Tom, I know Fran mentioned that they were going to be doing the flag placement over in Bay Minette on Saturday, I believe, because we do cover a wide part of the coast here. I believe that the Biloxi National Cemetery is also in need of volunteers on Saturday. So, yeah, I'm certain that you can just give them a call to find out the details on that. But that's obviously there's a lot of work that goes into that. They got groups like the Boy Scouts and others that come out for it. A lot of veterans groups. I think the Patriot Guard actually comes out and helps in some areas.
They do. The Patriot Guard usually participates over here as well. So, but we're seeing the Boy Scouts and some of the junior ROTCs, and even some of the new Marine recruits. They had about 20 of them over at the battleship for this Armed Forces Day event over there. I thought that was pretty cool.
And that's outstanding.
It's surprising how many of the young people are still volunteering to go in the Corps, man.
I think the way things are looking, that it has been there's been a turn in the recruitment side of things.
Right.
But if you can, go out, bring your kids. If the weather's nice, and who knows with the way the rain is, but. If you can get out there and help to put the flags out for the fallen, try to get out there and do that. But, it is always an honor to be joined on SBN by one of our C lawyers from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ms. Brooke Thomas. Brooke, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for your service to our veterans.
Yeah, thank you all for having me.
What a blessing she is to our vets. We were just talking about a young vet that I think she handled his VA case. Our good buddy Pop Jones, 100 years old, Navy vet, was on Okinawa, and they had the pleasure of applying for his benefits and all, and did an awesome job for it and taking good care of that gentleman. And we were just talking about it during the break. In fact, it surprised me here. She called to check on him, see how he was doing. She heard he was in the hospital. So, I mean, what lawyer's going to take the time to do that? Just don't see that.
I want to check on him.
I know. Well, y'all are sincere about your vets and making sure that they're taken care of. And we appreciate that. Well, tell us a little bit about some of the exciting things that's going on here that we need to talk about tonight.
So I thought I'd talk a little bit about, because it's all in the news, AI.
Yes.
And VA is using AI. They're not 100% or I don't know, it's not completely clear perhaps what all they're using it for. They've developed tons of AI programs. We know they're using it to help, they say, kind of gather the information because, you know, if you've ever seen a VA file, some of them can be massive. I looked at one today that had, I think, 1,100 separate documents, you know, and each document might be who knows how many pages. So they're saying that they use AI when a claim comes in to look through many, many pages of service treatment records and medical records and compensation and pension exams and put together a report for the rater so they can work on that backlog and work the cases faster.
So that being said, though, they could put the name of the person in there and their Social Security numbers and the dates that they were in service, and the AI can research.
Well, what it does, the program and AI, they've developed it, so it's they use their own sort of platform for doing it, but it takes all the sort of disparate pieces of data that's in that veteran's file that's probably thousands and thousands and thousands of pages, and it can create a summary, like, here's all the times this person went to the doctor for their knee. It really got rolled out big when the PACT Act was first introduced and passed, and they had to start implementing that. Had tons of hypertension claims for people who were exposed to Agent Orange, for example.
Okay.
So I could read that person's medical records and look and see, do they have hypertension? Because that was presumptive in the PACT Act. And so they have used it, and they've said that it's really helped them cut down on their backlog. I think they're saying their goal is to get to 30 to 60 days. Our position is, does it matter if they come out that much faster if they're not better, if the quality isn't better?
Yeah, that would be my desire.
So they are using AI. They're developing all kinds of new programs. There is some pushback on it. Like right now, I think there are a couple of different proposals that some folks want to maybe attach to some of the funding that would say, hey, VA, you got to come in and you got to tell us what exactly are you using AI for. Be transparent.
Mm-hmm.
Another says you can use AI to put all this data together in a comprehensible document, but you can't ever have the AI be the one that makes the final decision.
Right. They shouldn't be able to make the final decision.
They want to put some guardrails on that. And I think we see that like across the board. I'm certainly not an AI expert. Lawyers recently have gotten in pretty big trouble for misusing AI. But that's the kind of we're all grappling with. What should the regulations be on the AI? How much should they use? Because we certainly see things where it doesn't seem like a human person has read it and sent the letter out asking for more information, because we think that if they did, they would have realized they didn't even need to send that letter to us, but now we have to respond to it. So there's definitely still some hiccups there. And I think we'll see as time goes on, you know, how much is VA going to really be using these programs? How much are lawyers going to be able to use them?
Right. Well, and then the other area I would be interested in seeing is how much depth are they going to let AI get involved in these cases, and where are they going to draw the line, or if they're going to draw the line.
Right, and I think that's part of it, too, is, you know, they want to attach these proposals to the funding that says you're not going to use any of the funding to create a program that's going to be basically the decision maker. Like, we still need to be training human people to look at this data and make the final decision on this.
But they need to be properly trained, too.
They do need to be properly trained, right? And so they are saying that they're working the backlog faster than they have pretty much since the PACT Act. But again, we still see errors in decisions, right? We wouldn't have a business if we didn't see errors were being sent out by the VA that we have to appeal. So I think that really that's what they should be looking at, not just how many decisions are they issuing, how many of them are getting appealed to the board or to the court and getting reversed because they're not correct. So plenty for us to
do. That being said, now, that behooves the veterans and the guys like myself that have claims and have had claims and, you know, at times have been denied. But we need the technical expertise that you as a VA-trained lawyer has and the certifications that you have gained by studying specific areas over all these years that you've been in the industry and the other lawyers that are in this group. so that we have some protection. Because yes. we guys on the street, we don't know any of that. We don't
we
have any background on that.
We certainly think we add value, right, to look at a claim and see where things went wrong. What have they not gotten right about your claim? Because we still see whether it's a machine learning or a human person reading it.
Right.
They still
right.
sometimes miss medical records, right? They miss where you've been going to a cardiologist because they're private records, and they can sometimes gloss over those and say, oh, we don't see, you know, this isn't consistent with the what the C&P examiner said. And then we have to go back and point to them, but what about all these other records, right?
Right,
you know,
right.
You didn't read these records from the cardiologist.
Well,
here's where it says that, and we can, that's one of the ways we can
add. You have gained
value.
All this experience, you and the other attorneys with that group, that have that knowledge because you've handled hundreds of other cases. Maybe
yes.
it's some, in your case, probably a thousand of cases.
Probably, I've been doing a long time. I've been with the firm since 2008 and been doing VA since probably about 2010, 2011 is when I really got into doing more VA.
So you're just you could thumb through something and say, oh, this is not right. That's not right. Oh, that's okay. I like that. But
yes.
no, this is not right.
Right.
Just
yes.
from experience, you know?
Yeah. And the thing is, sometimes I have to look up stuff too. It just goes to show you how complicated these VA cases are. It can be very hard if you're just a veteran who's filing a claim to navigate that system. They don't make it simple.
We can't afford to file our cases anymore by ourselves.
Right.
It's too technical. And then when they get AI involved in it, and most, you know, a lot of us don't even know how to use a dang computer, you know, much less understand what AI is.
Right.
Except what we hear, you know. And it's just neat to see this, and I'm proud to be able to work with Gardberg and Kimberly here and the lawyers at that firm because of all your expertise.
Well, we appreciate that. We appreciate that.
And they don't realize that so many other law firms turn their cases over to y'all, even though they might accept it. They wind up giving the cases to y'all to handle because they don't have the expertise to handle it.
Yeah, it's not something that if you don't practice in this area, it's not something you're just going to know,
right?
Because
right.
it gets pretty deep in there. And, hey, I'm not saying there's not room for AI, but I get a lot of questions
sure.
about it.
Well, it is.
And I think
let's
that
do it right,
know, it's developing.
Yeah, let's do it right. Let's develop it right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is awesome. Well, how can our veterans get in touch with you or your office over there?
Yeah, locally you can call us at 251-343-1111. We're on Montlamar Drive here in Mobile. And you can reach us online at GardbergLaw.com.
And we'd certainly appreciate it. Having our own JAG officer in the house, our legal.
Yeah, thank you,
John. Cal. Thank you so much.
Glad
yes.
to be here.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you guys working with us all these years. And as always, you can go to our Facebook page for more information. On the other side of the break, Mr. Kyle Beshears with the Memorial Day Flag Relay when we return on the Scuttlebutt.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on the 106.5 FM, along with Tom Claxton, Cal Walters, and we are glad that you joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today.
And we certainly want to thank the folks that helped make this show possible. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, our sea lawyers, Colin and Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ms. Keisha Chambers, the Medicare lady, Daphne's hottest eatery at the coolest location, the Waterfront Restaurant at No. 1 Yacht Club Drive, the Charlie Wilson Insurance Agency, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And briefly, Tom, before we jump in with the guest, I did want to mention Dr. Barry Booth, who you and I have worked with on numerous occasions.
Yes, we did have his.
He recently received the key to the city from Daphne Mayor and the city council on
Monday. We were at that event the other day there, and it was just unbelievable. Bless his heart. He's got Parkinson's that's really tearing him up, but his mind was still sharp as a tack. He spoke like the distinguished gentleman that he is. But they started talking about some of the things that he had done over the years over there in the Daphne area. He made the land possible for our veteran cemetery there on 225.
Absolutely, with Memorial Day coming up.
Right.
How appropriate is that?
That is, it's just unbelievable. And it, he did get the key to the city. And he brought a picture of his mama. I think she was from West Virginia, somewhere up there. and he had a lot of recognition. A lot of our support from our other veterans were there, and Pete Reams and Pat Downing and were there. Steve Carey, the guys that participated in our troops flying to D.C. to see the
honor flight.
Honor flight. And they had over 1,000 troops, I think, that they took up there. It's an ungodly amount of flights that they were able to drive the revenue for and take those guys up there in wheelchairs and walkers and whatever they needed. And each person that needed it had his own guide or someone to take care of him. And he put all that together.
Absolutely did. I remember going out to the airport there in Mobile and welcoming.
Well, we used to meet them out there, We'd get together.
Yeah.
And go out there and meet them and welcome those guys back in from D.C. They were a happy group. And, as one of the things that Dr. Booth said, he thinks that most all of them are gone now. He doesn't think any of them are left. That's been like 8 years ago.
He's probably pretty close to being accurate. But
right.
do want to, again, mention Dr. Barry Booth just another accolade. All he did was give.
That's right.
Just a very giving person. And he had a lot of interest, but he certainly embraced the veterans community.
He did. What an
awesome. As I said, with Memorial Day here.
Right. What an awesome gentleman.
And the cemetery over there in Bay Minette, it certainly was a fitting bit of recognition for him. But let's jump in. Hey, it's a privilege to be joined on SBN by Mr. Kyle Beshears from the Memorial Day Flag Relay. Kyle, welcome to SBN, and let us know which relay Tom is registered
for. Yeah. Where's my electric scooter?
Thanks, Tom, and thanks, Kyle, for having me. Tom hadn't registered yet, so we might have to fix that at the end of this.
Yeah. I will be on the reviewing stand. Yes, I'll be on the reviewing stand when they come by. I can't do that anymore. But give us a little insight on what's going on with that, Kyle.
Sure. So this is the 18th year that we've done the Memorial Day Flag Relay here in Mobile, started by Admiral Endelly. And the point of this relay is basically to remember what is Memorial Day for? Is it a time where we're all getting a 3-day weekend, schools close in, and we're going to the beaches? Or is it a moment that we can pause and remember our nation's heroes who have fallen and passed on? And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to raise awareness, and the way that we do this is by 1 mile chunks of a relay where we pass the American flag and a POW MIA flag. And we start out near ATC Mobile and we end at the ensign on the USS Alabama. All along the way at each of our mile markers, we have signs and waypoints of folks who have fallen with their picture and their name to give them honor so that we never forget them.
Yes. Well, that's an awesome deal. Now, you guys are starting this at the Coast Guard base?
It's close to the Coast Guard base. So we actually start at the Hubert Pierce Creek Cemetery, about a mile up the road. And then we go to ATC Mobile, run to Schillinger, then to airport until we get to downtown, midtown area, and finally end at the USS Alabama. The intention here is to visit as many of the military significant sites in our city, one of the highlights being the National Cemetery there in Virginia Street, where we pay special honors to Medal of Honor recipient John New, who fell at Peleliu. And so once we get the flag to where it's going, we pick a Gold Star family who we give this flag as a gift.
Awesome, man. That's awesome. Now, do the people have to run the 22 miles, or can you run a mile? I mean, how does that work?
If you wanted to run 22 miles, we'd let you. But no, all we're asking for is volunteers who would be able to do about a 10-mile-a-minute pace to run 1 mile. So we have some folks that'll just do the 1 mile and then call it a day. Other people, I think we got one guy that's setting up to do 4 miles this year. Last year, I want to say we had a guy that ran about half of it. So it ends up being, if you ran the whole thing, it'd be 22 miles. Right. But you can run as much or as little as you'd like.
Right. Now, do you have all the mileage covered with runners?
No, just as of this evening, we've met our mark. So we needed at least 40 or so, and we've got 45 participants. But we're always looking for more folks because, you know, day of, someone might have to fall out for illness or something along that. But we run rain or shine, and we can have as many folks on those miles. We've had families do it. We've had groups of folks get together, so there can be 6 or 7 people running a mile.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have anybody walking to any of the areas, or is that condoned?
No, unfortunately, if we had someone walking, that starts that chain effect in the relay where it kind of gets us off schedule. But
okay. But yeah, but running or jogging, but you got to keep moving.
Got to keep it moving, yeah. Jogging is probably best way to think of it. It's a pretty, I guess it's relative, but it's about a 10-minute mile pace is what we're shooting for.
Man, that's awesome, man. That's really awesome. But now just you do have it people to cover all of the mileage, but where could someone go if they wanted to run that? Where would you recommend that they pick up at, or how do they register or what have you?
Yeah, so the easiest way would be to go to our Facebook page and search for Memorial Day Flag Relay Mobile, and there's a link there to a site called Run Sign Up, and you can fill out a form. It's real quick, just very basic information, and that just goes into a system to cover us for insurance and admin purposes, and then you can select the mile that you desire to run, and starting Saturday, we'll start pinging people on text message about when and where they need to show up.
Okay.
And the day of, we keep people informed on how the relay is going, and just to give them a heads up that, you know, their turn's right around the corner.
That is just awesome. That is so awesome now. Mm-hmm. But it's such a great event, and I'm so proud that you and Endel have stepped up with that. We're so proud to have the Admiral in our Marine Corps League detachment. He's actually my chaplain, and he's such an awesome gentleman, as well as a heck of a veteran. God, I think 40 years in the service in the Marine Corps and in the Navy.
Huh. He's in for a very, very long time. Yeah, he was on the Navy Reserve side. He was our highest ranking chaplain. I'm in the Navy Reserves as a chaplain. And Endel not only commissioned me, but has been a mentor since I've been in.
What an awesome gentleman. Hey, such a great guy. Appreciate you being on, Kyle. Good luck on your run. Looking forward to
Thanks, buddy. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. And on the other side of the break, my tirade on Memorial Day, when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
Memorial Day, as we know it today, can trace its roots back to 1966 and President Lyndon Johnson, when he declared Waterloo, New York, the official birthplace of Memorial Day. However, history tells us the day was originally known as Decoration Day and was first observed on May the 30th, 1868, after the war between the states. A proclamation by General John A. Logan declared, "The 30th of May, 1868, is designed for the purposes of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of our country." With the memory of a devastating war fresh in the nation's memory, that first Memorial Day saw more than 5,000 participants help to decorate the graves of over 20,000 Union and Confederate soldiers at Arlington National Cemetery. However, as a nation with a short memory, it was not long before the importance of observing Memorial Day began to wane in the minds of those in a post-war world. In 1884, Oliver Wendell Holmes, in a Memorial Day address to the Grand Army of the Republic, notes the queries of the youth of his day as to why people continued to keep up the observance of Memorial Day. Justice Holmes' response was simple. "Memorial Day is still kept so that we may answer that it celebrates and solemnly affirms from year to year a national act of enthusiasm and faith. We can hardly share the emotions that make this day to us the most sacred day of the year, and embody them in ceremonial pomp, without, in some degree, imparting them to those who come after us. This weekend, over 100 years later, throughout our nation, citizens will gather together as they have for generations to once again enthusiastically affirm our faith with the over 1 million soldiers." That's 1 million, guys. 1 million soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Coast Guardsmen who have gone before us, given their lives in defense of our great nation. The simple phrase, "Freedom is not free," is a fitting and permanent epitaph for each of these heroes. And it is their legacy, their undying gift to us, that today we continue to live as the land of the free. There is a story that during World War II, a couple of U.S. soldiers were patrolling an area that had been heavily shelled during a battle the previous day. They passed by the ruins of a severely damaged cathedral, where little was intact aside from a statue of Jesus Christ with his arms outstretched. The soldiers were able to upright the statue and place it on the steps of the church. And after much searching, though they were unable to find the hands to complete the statue, and so before they moved on to the next post, they left a sign which simply read, "He has no hands now but yours." This is the legacy that has been left to us by our fallen brothers and sisters, those who have fought the good fight and given the full measure. It is one that rightly deserves our continued remembrance, but it's also one that demands our enduring action, lest their sacrifices be in vain. Their voices have fallen silent and their bodies are at rest. They have no hands now but ours. And so it is a proper and fitting tribute that we are the living remember our heroes, not only on this very special day, but that we do so each and every day, that we work to enrich the memories of those who have sacrificed and those who continue to sacrifice for our freedom. And while this is a mission of enormous proportion, it is one that is built upon the hard work and dedication of local individuals and groups who have answered the call. Furthermore, I believe that any observance of Memorial Day would not be complete without the remembrance of those who served their country with honor and courage, and who came home to tell about it. It is a right and decent thing that these brothers and sisters in arms receive the recognition and honor due them while they are still among us. And no group deserves this more than what we now call the greatest generation, our World War II veterans. For many who served in World War II, their service and sacrifice did not end over there. They returned home to work as policemen, firemen, factory workers, and foremen, doctors, and business owners. They continued to build this great nation through their service and advance the causes of their fellow veterans through their ongoing work. Sadly, we're now losing our remaining World War II veterans at an ever-increasing pace. For many of us, Memorial Day conjures up images of our national cemeteries with row upon row of graves, each decorated with its own personal U.S. flag. These images harken back to the very origins of this day, and yet they will come alive to us today
as we enter our second decade of the War on Terror. The philosopher and statesman Edmund Burke once said, "All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." It is my hope that as a nation, we will come to recognize that we do not take lightly the specter of war, nor do we hastily send our finest to fight for freedom, both our own and that of others. I firmly believe that ours is a cause that is just, and that the service men and women who have answered the call of their nation since 9/11 have earned the moniker of this century's greatest generation. And while Memorial Day is a day of national remembrance, you can see that it is firmly built on the sacrifices of loved ones lost in our own communities and the hard work and dedication of the local veterans and volunteers who keep these memories alive. Remember, no one can do everything, but everyone can do something. We the living have been given an incredible gift by those who have gone before us. But this gift might well be prefaced with the prologue, "To whom much has been given, much is expected." And so I encourage you to go forth today with fond memories of cherished loved ones and missing comrades, and dedicate yourself to be the hands and voices for those who have none, to carry forward the rich legacy which we have been given, and to make every day Memorial Day. May God bless each of you. May He bless our veterans and their families. And may He continue to bless the United States of America.
Christ was born across the sea, with the glory in His bosom that transfigures you and me. As He died, let us live to make men free. What a God is marching on.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, broadcasting live on 106.5 FM and streaming on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. A couple of Marines with just a little bit to say, the First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And, you know, Tom, a great little combination of history lesson and, you know, sort of a call to arms. For, you know, we've got all these events that are coming up over the course of this weekend that Fran talked about and Mr. Bashir talked about. And here's the thing. It's up to us to get out there, and instead of doing the barbecue, instead of going and buying a new mattress, bring our kids and grandkids out to these events so they can see what's going on and what this is all about.
Yes, they are not hearing our history. They have no idea. Even the kids that are our young people in their 20s and all now, they get asked things on the street about it, anybody should know it. We knew in the fourth, you know, when we were 4 or 5 years old. They didn't know. Do what? What are you talking about? You know, it's just unbelievable that the history and all the valuable things that all these older people did, especially all of our veterans, that, you know, like you said, it's like 0.06% of 1% that are actually veterans out of the, you know, out of the millions of people that have been here. But even then, we mentioned that in that tirade, and I was proud of that tirade. I enjoyed that, and I think that's one of the better ones that we have done. But we've actually lost like 1,700,000 that we know have been killed in action. So that's, you know, that's close to 2 million people that have given their lives. And we've lost more than that back here from the injuries that they've sustained, the Agent Oranges, PTSD, and the suicides. So that's, well, in essence, that's not a true figure.
Well, it's not, but, you know, Tom, it also, it doesn't include the families.
Right. Well, look at the, look at the families that are hurt.
You know, just if you are able to, over the course of this weekend, attend some of the Memorial Day events, remember the reason. It's right. Not a holiday. It's a remembrance.
It's a remembrance.
And
right.
There you go. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We will catch you on the other side.
God bless all of you.